So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Our gospel lesson is not long. In fact, it is mostly not a lesson at all, but a family tree, followed by a brief account of Mary's betrothal, which affects an inheritance, Jesus' legacy of Joseph's family line. Let us pause to notice the main thing about this tree and its organizing principle, which is Babylon. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now, Abraham is from Babylon. And the Christ is most fully revealed in the book of Revelation, which is about the triumph over Babylon. Do you see? This is all a cosmic drama, beginning in Babylon and, in a sense, ending with the end of Babylon. As his inherited genealogy discloses, Jesus, through this tree, has a checkered past. This is one of the set pieces in the Gospel of St. Matthew and a common subject among homilists. Last week, for example, St. Elizabeth's Convent in Minsk posted a reflection on Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth, women who acted righteously but in morally compromised ways. And let us not forget King David, the adulterer murderer, nor his son, King Solomon. And, you know, the genealogy brings out that Solomon is born of she who was Uriah's wife. With his many, many concubines and wives, should not this man stand out for indulging his outsized carnal appetites and for his elaborate luxuries and accumulated riches? You see, he concentrates David's worst sins. Values that St. John the Baptist and Jesus plainly rejected. Of course, the broader and deeper truth is that we all descend from Adam and Eve and later Noah and Naamah, who are two of the most notorious couples ever to live, literally contaminating the whole of God's newly created pristine life world. And while solidly Orthodox theologians reject Augustine's heretical innovation of original sin, we all clearly have paid the price for their shames. The primary point here is that we are all related in the same family. All of us are. It is taken as a fact by modern geneticists that we all descend from one man and one woman. We are all in the same family, and none may boast, for this family is shamefully scandalous. This is our family tree. From the point of view of Father God, we have grievously shamed our family name. We have not lived up to our family name. On the other side of the tree, from the bottom, from the point of view of his son, we have handed Jesus a grievous history and a notorious name to be born to. Closer to our subject, which is the Holy Nativity, Jesus was mocked as Son of Mary, an epithet for bastard. Can we not hear the tone of contempt in Mark's gospel? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And if we are tone deaf for the sake of the Son of God and for his most holy mother, the text is explicit. So they were offended at him. Every Hebrew man is called by his father's name, Simon Bar-Jonah, etc. Son of Mary, bastard. And ever Virgin Mary was plagued by accusations of fornication with a Roman soldier named Panthera, recorded in The True Word, a second century treatise by the Greek philosopher Celsus. The work survives through Origen's landmark of patristic literature, Contra Celsum. It is useless to paper over the sins of our fathers and mothers. Like a man riddled with the visible ravages of tertiary syphilis, humanity's inheritance of disease is something we just cannot hide. God's blessing in Eden was innocence, beauty, and everlasting life. But man transmuted this imperial gift into our gritty world of endless rivalry, rage, criminality, and we still do. The great majority of us leave the place of our original innocence. We are all born into this world of original innocence. But we have left it in order to, we say, experiment. But we cannot escape the etymology of the word adult, which is the past participle of Latin adolescere, from which we get our word adolescence. There's an inevitability built in here. The infinitive of the verb adultare means to pollute, to defile, to commit adultery. This is the dark progression inviting us into devilish existence. Nonetheless, the pure heart revolted at the so-called rites of adolescence and becomes progressively revolted at adultery and what we call adult entertainment is the heart that was originally set in all of us. And I have met people who have never consented to these things from the beginning and throughout their lives have been revulsed by it. Our exemplar Jesus entered the world, as we all do, in newborn innocence. Do you see that Jesus might have appeared in the world as a certain king or a king from a distant land, as we hear in parables? But no. He enters the world in newborn innocence and then imbued that world with his innocence, redeeming it. Born in God's purity, of a young girl committed to purity, he would be heralded by a forerunner noted for his purity, living a life fragrant of Eden, eating manna, staying away from the cities, wearing only clothing that was natural. Jesus then continued to walk in that same innocence, setting out an example for all time. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You see, he never left his innocence. He then completed the masterpiece of his life. He said, "It is finished," John 18:30. He completed the masterpiece in blamelessness. attested by the penitent thief Dismas. He did it all by an act of his will, departing from the unbound happiness and light of heaven in order to, knowing full well what he was doing, in order to enter our dark streets of danger and disease. Unbounded heaven, our narrow streets of darkness and disease. And he laid down a heavenly challenge to us. Metanoete, be transformed. Leave these narrow streets. And it is within the reach of every man and woman born into the world to follow him in that same purity, to turn away from worldly darkness and to enter that same heaven of unbounded happiness and light. At his birth in Bethlehem, we called him Son of David, thinking to exalt him. But his adopted family's past is nothing to exalt. Our most penetrating fathers locate Jesus' passion at the beginning, at his conception and birth. His birth is from heaven, not the world, yet he entered the world in order to redeem it. The Logos, the Creator, larger and more expansive than the cosmos, entered the horrible confines, the tiny and suffocating box of our humanity. His tender and vulnerable infant form was then immediately confronted with the ways of our world and the harshness forced upon his mother about to give birth and his helpless stepfather. He would be born amongst barnyard animals in their mud and dung-stained hay. He would lie in a manger, an animal's feeding trough, hewn from wood. We may well imagine even his crib to be teeming with stinking bacteria and mold in that lightless cave, however diligent his stepfather's efforts to scrape it clean. And this was all part of the frank inhospitality accorded the Holy Family. We may well imagine that there was no place to wash or to relieve other needs. And beyond this cave lay more danger, for shepherds were the ancient world's dregs of society, cutthroats and thieves who lived far away from the towns and cities that they might not be apprehended. This was his passion. Setting aside heaven, he emptied himself, his kenosis, and endured a 33-year torture that he might first heal the creation, root and branch, as Athanasius pointed out in his great work on the Incarnation, and then show us the way to heaven by his godly example. He removed all impediments, the impediments imposed by Adam and Eve's penalty. He removed all impediments and then showed us the way forward with his godly example. Oh yes, this was no fragrant and comely crush set upon a manicured lawn, but rather unvarnished degradation and homelessness, a fitting welcome to the food chain existence of hunger, suffering, and homelessness we continue to foist upon the marginalized and vulnerable the world over. Do you see? This drama is constantly taking place. Degradation and homelessness imposed upon the powerless. And we continuing to be born into the world with godly innocence and purity. It goes on and on. It's a living drama. And we play important parts in it. Yet the one who knows and understands everything has come of his own free will. He does not have to be schooled in the ways of our world, for it is the sorry state of the world and the suffering those who have cried out to him which have occasioned his incarnation, which will save and redeem. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1, 3 through 5, of course. We say, and we read in our gospel lesson, that God is with us. Theologically, he inherited a family tree replete with murder, adultery, and incest, that we might inherit a family tree descending from the King of Heaven. We know this famous doctrine, God became man so that we might become God, this principle known as the communication of properties, the communicatio idiomata, first mentioned by the apostolic father Ignatius of Antioch and worked out by the councils of Ephesus and Chalcedon, holds that the divine properties of the Son interpenetrate his human person and therefore our human persons, and vice versa. This principle is ongoing in each of us who are created with the divine breath. And here we find the inner workings of theosis. Theosis is possible for this reason. But theosis is something we must desire. God will not undertake our spiritual development. He will lead us with his grace. He will help us by his unseen influences. We call them little miracles. But in practical terms, how will he save us? How will he lead this selfish, dog-eat-dog world to heaven? He will do it all with relationship. He will love us. He will guide us out of our personal degradations. He will inspire us with his noble and luminous example of life, and he will call us to holy vocation. And one last thing, he will give his angels charge over us. Let us cast our minds back to that cave on the darkest night of the year. And in that stinking darkness, let us recollect our most shameful memories when we chose to experiment instead of retain our interest, our innocence. Jesus would teach, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? From the same Gospel of Matthew. But he has come like a long-awaited dawn to flood the shadowy landscape with his light, illuminating every grotto and cave. It is he, the light giver, for this is his nature. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Matthew 28. Our darkness, the darkness of our whole bodies, as he described it, or the darkness of our whole world, though it be the sum of all our dreamless and sleepless nights, that is nothing to him. For behold, God said, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to my mind. Isaiah 65:17. new life. The former things will not be remembered. On this Christmas, my brothers and sisters, let us follow him into his light. Let us become new creations by his life-transforming art. Let us be released from the servitude of the world and be freed from the cruel demons who continue to tempt us with carnal thoughts and worse. Let us depart from Babylon and, like Abraham, head off to a new horizon where angels are our fellows and where ladders fall from heaven. Let us steer clear of the cities and their toxic culture. Let us live and breathe and be gladsome creatures of light. For that is his legacy to us. He calls us his brothers, Matthew 12. And he offers us the King of Heaven as our Father, Matthew 6. And the strange adoption with which he began his earthly stay, he has redeemed. He has transfigured. He has raised even to a birthright and a claim to the kingdom of heaven. The demons shudder and weep at our inheritance. And who among us will not claim it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.